Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RTE.ie. Caroline, good afternoon. You're worried about next week. What's happened?
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon. Nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
Joe, I contacted you yesterday evening because I received a text message from my daughter's primary school that the school will be closed next week for the midterm break. And I just was quite frustrated, to be honest. I really don't feel it's appropriate for the Department of Education to endorse and for teachers to take 4 days holidays next week, given that we are in the midst of a global pandemic and the students have lost so much time. They've lost so much time academically, but also socially and developmentally, you know, due to missing out on school. And I really don't feel it's appropriate for teachers to take 4 days off next week.
And when did you first find out?
I got a text message yesterday. Now, in fairness, there is a school calendar in place, which the Department of Education would have set up. But I suppose I hadn't reviewed it. But I did feel there was 3 extra days taken after the Christmas holidays in January. Three extra days taken then, and then there was 2 additional days that there was remote learning after the Christmas holidays. So I did feel that there should have been some pragmatism and leadership shown, that they would have, you know, shown some flexibility around the days that the teachers took this year, given what has occurred. And so I'm very disappointed that, you know, in light of the fact that there were 3 extra days given after Christmas, that the teachers were still going to take 4 days next week.
And how would you manage?
Well, I'm not too bad because I have older children and, you know, so from that perspective. But it's really a concern that I think, you know, you have to question the value that we place on education as a society, because there would be a lot of children that mightn't be, you know, that school is a real place of stability for them. And they've also lost hugely on their education, because even though, and I fully acknowledge the teachers' work during the homeschooling period, the hours at school or at home haven't fully compensated for the education in the classroom.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, there's a huge value on children meeting their friends. And, you know, another, like, they had a week off in February, and then they had 2 weeks off at the end of March for Easter. And now,
so hang on, I thought you could either take your midterm, so to speak, in February or May, but not both.
Yes, I thought so too, but they did have the week off in February, and
it was the school you're dealing with.
Yes,
you're adamant.
And I mean, yes, I am. And of course, there could be some variation, because I know not all primary schools are off next week, but certainly my one is closed.
But you're saying you understood that they already had a midterm break.
Yes. Now, just to clarify, the May dates are down as being appropriate school holidays. But my belief is that there should be flexibility, given there was extra days taken in January, given the number of days that students have lost out already. I think the teachers really, it's the Department of Education primarily, should consider, you know, their role and, you know, the importance of supporting the children.
Now, did you, or have you noticed your child slipping back, so to speak?
She has a little, and I mean, that's probably partly because, I suppose, in terms of the homeschooling, I work full time. So, you know, I was doing my best to make up that time. But, and I mean, there'll be a lot of parents in similar position that just didn't have the time to give that extra education to their children. You know, our role, we're not educators. We did our best. But as I said, it's not all about the academics. I think school is such an important environment for their growth in so many ways. But I mean, education is such an important.
And have you had on Zoom or whatever? Well, Zoom, I think, is the only way. Have you had a parent teacher meeting this year?
I had a parent teacher meeting over the phone. Yes, I did. And now, in fairness to my child's teacher, she has struggled a bit with maths, and he has engaged with me on it.
Okay.
You know, but really my main reason for contacting you is in relation to, I don't feel it's appropriate for teachers to be taking 4 days holidays next week in light of all that's happened in this year and last year.
Yeah, it's been a long, long 15 months at this stage. So your point is, even since this Christmas, after the disruption of last year, 2 extra days after Christmas, midterm in February, 2 weeks there at the end of April for Easter. 2 weeks, yeah?
Yeah, 2 weeks, the end of March and the start of April.
Okay. And then next week, the Monday being the bank holiday, but they're off for the 4 days, are they?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, okay. Would you say it to your school? Would you say it?
I did contact the principal yesterday by email, but I haven't heard anything back. I suppose, as I do say, in fairness, it is on the school calendar, but I hadn't looked at the school calendar, and okay. I did think there would be a bit of flexibility shown to the students, given the fact that, you know, they've missed so many days.
Okay, Joe at RT.ie. Is Noreen Carroll there? Are you there, Noreen? You were on my screen 2 seconds ago. Noreen? Noreen's gone. Okay, Joe with RT. Stay there, Caroline, please. I'll have Noreen after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And in from the Department of Education. While there is no scheduled midterm break, some schools may decide to use their discretionary days during this period, Caroline. So it's discretionary days. I didn't know they still had them.
Okay.
Was that the sound of silence, the sound of your jaw dropping? It's not a midterm, they're known as discretionary days.
All I'll say, Joe, is that's really disappointing because, you know, discretion at the moment, I don't think it should be at their discretion to take extra holidays.
So that's next week brings us into May. Then May the 10th is Monday week. Certain things reopening. Then the June bank holiday is the beginning of June. And then the primary schools, the beginning of June is the leaving cert. So that's the second level schools are gone. And then the primary schools are gone, isn't that the end of June? But there was talk, I don't know whether you're following me, Carolyn, and I'm not totally up to speed on it, but I remember hearing a few weeks ago in the British media that they were talking about to try and help primary school students, pupils catch up, bringing them in over the summer.
I'd heard that. I mean, I'm taken aback to think that this is a discretion that my school has taken. To be honest, it's quite disappointing because I do feel, you know, the teachers have had a lot of, I won't say time off, but they haven't had to attend in the same way for the last year and a half. And I think, you know, the students deserve to get as much education as they can before they finish in June.
Have you been talking to any primary school teachers about what they have fallen behind in most?
No, I haven't, Joe.
Well, I heard from different teachers that two things. One, Irish, because parents weren't great at teaching Irish at home. And two was relationships and that end of it.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, the social skills they get in the school setting are just huge. It's like a second family for them. And I mean, I have four older children who have been through the primary school cycle, and it's a very happy, secure time for them, And it's just such a disappointment and a shame that they're missing out on days when they lost so many before this.
And they get to an age where they really are conjoined with their teacher. They really have an incredible relationship in primary school with their teacher as they go along, don't they?
It's an incredible bond. The junior cycle, like the primary, the junior infants, I mean, they adore their teachers. Yeah, and I have a nephew that's just started school, and he's done so well since he went into school. His behaviour was a bit challenging before he started, but he has done so well, and he adores his teacher, and it's been such a positive effect for him.
Okay, Noreen Carroll. Noreen's in Temple Ogan, Dublin. You're listening to Caroline, Noreen.
I am, yeah. No, I just wanted to say that I do kind of put some support behind that. I do agree with what she's saying.
And have you primary school children?
I have two primary school kids. And just, you know, from talking to a lot of parents, who have kids of a similar age, of a 12-year-old and just gone 10-year-old, the kids have really, really struggled.
Yeah, okay.
In this lockdown, they've had no voice, I suppose. It's been up to the parents. There's been a lot of disruption for them, from communions cancelled to confirmations, and they just take it in their stride at that age. But it has had an impact on them, and from a lot of parents I've spoken to, you know, lots of kids have developed anxieties where there wouldn't have been any, and it's just the disruption that they've gone through, and you're kind of settling them back into school, and then they were off Paddy's Day, and then you're settling them back again, and then they broke for 2 weeks for Easter, and now you're settling them back again, and again there's further breaks. They all have, my eldest has regressed academically,
okay.
In terms of how he's doing. He's going to be going into senior school now in September. So, you know, there is that worry. We're trying to get him extra grinds at home to make sure that he's up to speed. Look, as Caroline said, academically 100% they're behind. But
and what age is your
a 12 and a 10-year-old.
And who's getting the grinds?
The 12-year-old.
In what subjects?
Maths and Irish.
Why at that age?
Because he'd regressed quite significantly since COVID hit. You know, they missed quite an amount of school in fifth class, and then also missed a huge amount now this year in sixth class. So I think a lot of it is a confidence thing as well. The confidence got knocked, and it had a knock-on effect.
And why... How are grinds conducted during a pandemic?
Well, we do literally just a one-on-one, and it's across the table, 2 metres apart. They just do it across the table, just kind of trying to learn through on a laptop and that.
But do you bring someone in?
We do, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is it unusual now? You've your best interest as child at heart. But is it unusual for 12-year-olds? I know we're in a different world.
Yeah, no, not a lot of parents at that stage would be getting extra help for the kids.
Even though there's no exam in prospect.
Yeah. Just to kind of the transition into senior school is quite a lot for them now compared to when we were growing up. So what you don't want them to do is it's hard enough for them to settle in without them struggling then with subjects. It's only in a situation where if the child is quite a far bit below average, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And have you got any indication, or I don't know whether you had a parent-teacher meeting this calendar year, but have you got any indication how well, I don't mean you're individual, but generally how well children are doing and what subjects they found difficult during the lockdown?
I think all the core subjects would be the main worry. I'm speaking to teachers now. You know, look, most teachers the majority of teachers are fantastic, and I certainly wouldn't have an issue with any of the teachers. I think it's, you know, the unions or the Department of Education, really. But, it seems to be the core subjects are the ones they'd be worried about.
Which
is English, Irish, math.
Yeah. Okay. Noreen, Carol, and Caroline. Thank you both. Joe@rt.ie 51551. Wash hands. Not too. Still in primary school. The new, as you know, 90% of schools are controlled, so to speak, by the Catholic Church. So their new sex education program, which is called Flourish, will be rolled out in 90% of primary schools. Catherine O'Mahony, good afternoon. You have difficulty with that. Why?
I think actually the opposite of flourishing. I think it's a retrograde step. I think there's some of the content in the programme is really problematic. My own children are in primary school. Mm-hmm. I'm actually collecting one and have two.
Okay.
And I just think that some of the content, there's a particular focus on the role of a woman as preparing for motherhood. That's on the one on the kind of the class material for fourth class.
Okay.
And we know that there's a lot more roles for women in life, and that actual period is the maturation of a body. It's not actually preparing for any potential childbearing activity. Similarly, in fifth class, there's a particular view that... suggest a particular religious view of when life begins. And we had a national referendum to kind of open and expand the thinking on some of those things. There are two particular points that are problematic, and then there's the very off-cycling one about how puberty is a gift from God and this idea about procreation with God. None of that is appropriate in an objective, factual curriculum. That should be what our students are actually being exposed to. And as a mother, I'm really, really concerned that this is just coming in under the radar for people and will be imposed on us in September.
And that is a direct quote you're giving me from...
It's direct quote. About this is the lesson plans, the actual teaching resources. Yeah. And I've been listening to the debates and I've been following some of the news articles on this. And, you know, there's a suggestion that, obviously, it's down to the individual teacher. It's down to the teachers to implement this. And that was the messaging coming out from the INTO. But the reality is that the ethos of the school often dictates what happens in a school. And that's actually laid down by the Department of Education. They say something similar, that the ethos of a school will actually determine how the content is rolled out. So to what extent teachers will have a choice to actually push back on this? Mm-hmm. Some of the content is fine, and you'd expect it in a programme that touches on relationships and sexuality education. The values I would agree with, but that would be in any normal RSE course that's been developed by the curriculum, the NCCA, the curriculum body. But I don't see the need to bring in religion into this, which should be a subject area that's essential for students. Mm-hmm. It's enshrined in our constitution that our state actually teaches our pupils about this. And I don't see why there needs to be a religious kind of focus on it when 22% of our population, based on the 2016 census, don't identify as Catholic. So the people excluded, it's a particular perspective that is out of step with modern, inclusive Ireland.
And what does it say about marriages and marriages between a man and a woman, is it?
Yeah, that's one of the, I suppose, the central kind of planks of this, and was a statement that brought out by the Irish Catholic Bishops conference around this, that they wanted to make sure that was included here.
And can a teacher say, though we changed the law in Ireland through a constitutional referendum, which are few and far between, to say that people of the same sex can get married? Is that mentioned?
The teacher could do this, but in the actual lesson plans, the pictures that are depicted of family are of a particular heteronormative view of family, the nuclear family. So if you're a bereaved parent, if you're a separated parent, if you're a couple that decided not to get married but have had children together, then you're not reflected there. And my kids are already excluded from religion. We made that choice and they're happy to do their colouring and write their stories, etc. Our school has been brilliant to support them. But it's not fair. This is important education. Why bring in a religious view when there is a perfectly good curriculum being developed that can be supported by teachers or very, very skilled teachers and done well, rather than bring in any religious view to this? You can bring in these topics into religion class, absolutely.
Maura DeBarra has contacted us. Maura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Flourish again, the new relationship and sex education program from the Catholic Church, from the bishops into Catholic schools, primary schools, which is 90% of schools in Ireland. What do you think of it? You say you've recently done a course.
So I'm a secondary school teacher and I teach SPAT in secondary schools.
Okay.
And I recently completed a course in sex education in DCU. And I find the course very worrying because of the bringing in of the Catholic Church into religion and into sexuality and sex education for children. It's creating both a disconnect between what is hopefully going to be taught in secondary schools and primary schools by teaching children at a very young age that God has autonomy over their body, and that, you know, rather than giving them bodily autonomy and giving them the choices of who they are, and understanding that they are the ones who control their own bodies and their own sexuality and everything like that, and disconnecting what they will learn in secondary school, which would be more, hopefully, a more open program.
Well, that's what I mean.
And as Catherine...
Yeah. Is the SPHE program in secondary school very different to the Flourish program?
Well, as Catherine has been saying there's the curriculum is under review at the moment. There was a process started by Richard Bruton when he was the Minister for Education in 2018. And that process has led to a series of reports and reviews into RSE at both primary and secondary level. And the NCCA is currently creating a curriculum that can be rolled out to both primary and secondary schools that would have what they call a spiral effect, that you cover the same topics over and over again, but to greater depth as they work through the primary and secondary school system. But by bringing religion into it in a primary school, it means that that spiral system will no longer be coherent, that there will be a disconnect between what they learn in primary and secondary school, which is against everything that the NCCA is planning to bring in. The problem that I'm finding with this is that what the NCCA and the Department of Education has allowed in schools up until this point has been that each school individually can have a consultation process with various stakeholders. So the teachers, the parents, the students, should it be appropriate, the board of management, and as well as the trustees of the schools should all be involved in a process to see what could be rolled out and what should be rolled out in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And this also allows for the ethos of the school to take priority over some of the guidelines that the Department of Education would like to instill in the SPHE programme. And this, while they have advised that a consultation process takes place, the reports and the reviews are showing that these consultation processes aren't taking place and that programmes are being brought into schools without parents or teachers having any input into those programmes.
And did parents, teachers, parents, any other group have an input into the Bishop's document called Flourish? Do we know?
They have, as part, I'm only from reading what they have up on the programme, they say that they have some consultation with parents and principals, and I think maybe a limited amount of teachers, but it seems to me to be very, very limited. And with a particular slant, it's from the Bishop's Conference. And I mean, I'm looking at the programme. It was published online last week, and it is already starting to pop up on primary school websites as the accepted RSE programme, which means those primary schools are not going through the consultation process with parents. So these are parents who, though it is on the website and they can access it, should they be on the website and notice it, but they haven't been actively involved in a consultation process that shows them what their children are going to be taught as part of RSE.
But people, parents who send their, I know there's often not a choice, but parents that send their children to Catholic schools, they'd hardly be surprised that relationship education is going to have a particular Catholic ethos.
Well, I think that is the problem, because it shouldn't be connected to the Catholic ethos. The actual teaching of RSE shouldn't be connected with the Catholic ethos. It is because religion, while the whole school ethos could definitely have a Catholic slant, and as Catherine was saying, the values involved in a Catholic church, like love and kindness and all of those things, those values are perfectly acceptable in any format, but it doesn't have to be brought down to God and it doesn't have to be brought down to Jesus. Those examples do not need to be brought in on a regular basis. If the ethos can be taught without it being directly connected to the Bible and to the stories of Jesus and God, well, absolutely, then go for it. But to continuously placing the priority of God in all aspects of children's bodies and their sexuality, I think is creating the wrong kind of lessons for our children. And in actual fact, I would say that it's very damaging for their well-being in the long run.
Cathal McCarthy is in Limerick. Cathal, you're listening to Catherine and Maura. Go ahead, Cathal.
Hello, Joe. Yeah. I'm kind of puzzled because people are going to Catholic schools. And why should they be surprised that Catholic schools teach Catholic beliefs?
Maura, Catherine.
Well, I would say I'm not surprised. I absolutely do not. If it is a Catholic denominated school, and it comes from a Catholic ethos, they are teaching Catholic. They have a religion. They teach communion. They do the confirmation sacraments, and the parents know that when they register their children in those schools. But it does not mean that they expect God to be brought into every aspect of their education. They do not, like, I mean, in those schools, it's not like they're teaching God in English class or in maths class or in history class. There is no reason for it to be as part of the RSE either.
Why not?
Can I ask you a question?
So
the teaching previously by the church was they believed in a particular lifespan of the planet based on the Bible stories. Would you like to see science taught based on that premise?
I didn't get you very clearly. I don't understand what you're saying.
So I suppose
saying,
what I'm suggesting is, in some tranches of religious beliefs, there was a belief on creationism mm-hmm. and that the scientific curriculum should be taught through that. I'm a biochemist. And similarly,
I think you're getting a little bit confused there, because most of the famous scientists when the scientific age began were actually Catholics.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church doesn't teach that the Old Testament is word for word. They teach it's. I think the word is apocryphal stories, tales.
Can you explain to me how you can describe puberty as a gift from God when puberty is clearly a maturation of the human body?
Because life is a gift from God.
So
and that's
when
all part
someone
of life.
Is when a child is not being taught about mm-hmm. her own bodily development, and we have a historic problem in Ireland with female health and how well female health has been supported in Ireland. And a lot of this is unfortunately influenced by our broader kind of institutional structures.
That is not the reason I ran. I'm saying that if you will go to a Catholic school, you must
I don't have choice,
be educated from a Catholic
school. I don't have choice. I can't. There's no other options for me in where I live. I tried to go to a school that was multi-denominational. There wasn't a space for my child. So I don't have a choice. So my daughter and son have to go to a Catholic ethos school.
I understand that I would opt out from
religion.
From religion.
So their education on this topic is enshrined in the Constitution. So who's meant to be teaching my children about this? I am happy to do it, but they're still having this thing imbue the whole culture of the school. Why do we have to bring in a particular worldview and perspective that is dominated by a religious perspective on something that is factual, objective information? If we look at the research on student feedback on what they'd like to see, they want practical skills. They want to learn about bodily autonomy, how consent can be addressed, and there's ways of doing this that are practice-based and not wasting our time aligning with religious doctrine.
Excuse me, you're talking there, a big long sermon. I think you belong to another religion, which I refer to as secularist, that you are possibly a fundamental secularist.
I don't know if labels actually help the argument here, Carl. Do you believe that the universe and all living organisms came from a specific act of divine creation, or according to the biblical account, rather than evolution?
What I believe really doesn't matter. The argument I'm making is that if you go to a Catholic school, you must be expected to be educated in Catholic thought. Now, most scientists say that the whole universe started with a big bang.
Mm.
And that has been accepted for a long time.
Well,
now,
not that long.
Other scientists are now saying that one big bang wouldn't have been enough. And that there should have been a number of big bangs.
I think this is distracting from the central point.
And what set off the Big Bang? Was it was it an act of some entity? None of that is what I'm talking about. I'm saying, if you're going to a Catholic school, it's imbued with Catholic belief.
It's not a Catholic school. I'm going to a primary school to get my children educated, as is their right in this country. It happens to be under a Catholic ethos. So where is my choice? 90% of the schools in Ireland
Who's the patron of that school?
So 90% of the teachers are paid by the state. The electricity is paid by the school.
Who's the patron of the school?
There's the Catholic Ethos School. Yes.
Who's the patron of the school?
I don't know his name.
Well, that's a bishop, is it, obviously?
Who's the manager of the school?
I don't know. Do you mean the principal?
No, the parish priest is the manager of the school, probably.
By virtue of being the parish priest?
Yeah.
Not by virtue of being a good manager.
Yes,
sorry.
He's probably parish priest by virtue of being a good manager.
Really?
Well, he's managing a parish.
Well, he mightn't have any choice because there's so few priests. Sean McCarthy is in the stall. Sean.
Hello, John.
You're listening. Your point, please.
Yes, I'm listening there, yeah. The question of the control of primary schools has been an issue since the Stanley letter way back when they were set up as multi-denominational or non-denominational. And for various reasons, not just the Catholic Church, but other churches wanted control of them and got them. But in doing that, the Constitution now recognizes that, you know, you'd recognize one denomination or another in giving control of the schools. And this particular, you know, practice is totally out of date and inappropriate because there were great difficulties in setting up Gaelscoileanna and there were great difficulties in setting up Educate Together schools. Mm-hmm. Even where there were vacant primary schools, buildings, the local bishop or parish priest, whichever the case may be, would not give those buildings for the purposes of educating people who wanted to have Catholic, Protestant, Dissenter educated together. And I think it's about time that the Citizens' Assembly were given the opportunity to deal with this. Mm-hmm. It's the forum where you have a lot of expertise, you have a cross-section of people who would be interested in the topic and come up with proposals.
There's two things that happened.
Yes.
Well, there's many things that happened. One is Archbishop Dermot Martin of Dublin Diocese. He was said time and time again that he was in favour of divesting schools of religious control. And then we had a number of schools who the parents were offered via a plebiscite or whatever to, did they wish to change the patron of the school? And I know one particular case in North Dublin where the parents voted, surprisingly apparently, that they wanted the Archbishop to stay on as the patron of the school.
I think that's not surprising. I think it's fairly widespread. It would happen in many other parts of the country as well. But I've been to meetings. I've been involved in the teacher unions as well as being a teacher all my life. Mm-hmm. And I know that where you had debates at local level about what type of school you should have, there's a fair amount of control in how that debate is conducted.
Controlled by who, Sean?
Well, by the powers that be, and in primary education, it would be the churches.
So you say the parameters of the debate weren't conducive?
They're fairly limited, and parents are also very anxious that the schools, which are good schools, they don't want change while their children are there. But the practice of saying, as was mentioned, I think, earlier on in your programme, about religion. Mm-hmm. The fact is that the rules in primary schools will say that the ethos of the school must permeate and vivify the whole curriculum. Now, how do you teach English in a Catholic way as distinct from a Protestant or Muslim way? Mm-hmm. It is, by definition, a sectarian system. And I mean sectarian in the non-emotive sense of the word.
Yeah, in the descriptive sense of the word.
Yes, yeah. And our denomination might be a better way of describing it. But there is no justification whatever for having most of our schools under the control of a church. That is not to say that religion shouldn't be in the schools.
Well, you see, but the state acquiesced.
Of course it did. And now it's time for the state to look at it.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, could I just cut in there?
Carl, I'll come back to you in a second. I just want to say to people, the Gardaí have issued a statement in the last few minutes about the mother and baby home report, which we covered extensively, and lots of people very upset about their stories were anonymised, their stories were conflated, their stories were deflated, their stories in some cases, Garda na Éire listeners, were diluted or even changed. Well, the Gardaí say there's not enough evidence in the 14 volumes, I think, of the mother and baby home report. There's not enough evidence in it to pursue any legal cases, but they are asking people who believe they suffered either physically or any other way in pregnancy or indeed afterwards in these homes and through these homes to either go to the local Garda station. They've set up a dedicated team. In other words, the Garda are saying, we've read the report, there's nothing in the report, well, there's no names in the report for a start. And as you heard, a lot of the people who identified their stories in the report through Lifeline felt that their stories had not been fully told. We could never verify that, though I wouldn't disbelieve the callers, but we couldn't verify that because the commission basically shut down. They issued a report, didn't do a press conference, said that the report is what it is. The Garda are saying, we've gone through the report, fair play to them for going through the whole report, and there's nothing in it that will give us a direction to go in. So we are saying openly to people who were in mother and baby homes, do you think that there is an issue that the Gardaí should deal with, and we will handle it with sensitivity? You can either do it by email, you can write to them, or indeed you can present in confidence at your local Garda station. Stay with us. 51551, Marchant.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We are talking about the new sex and relationship education programme developed by the Irish Catholic bishops and will be rolled out, so to speak. Now, whether it's compulsory it's a little bit unclear given what the Department of Education have been saying. But as Sean McCarthy just pointed out, in school you were told that the Catholic ethos should permeate and indeed, was it vivify? I think that's
a beautiful word,
throughout every aspect of the school. Jasmine Phillip. Jasmine, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. You have a son in primary school.
Yes, I do. He's in first class.
And what do you think of this programme?
I'm quite taken aback by it. I know my son is in an all-boy Catholic school.
Okay.
I know they have religion in school. He's exempt from it. He's doing his colouring and reading at the back of the class, which is okay. Yeah. But sex education is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, yeah.
I want him to learn the exact terms for all the body parts. I want him to know the exact terms for what's happening, you know, when you have intercourse, when you have relationships. Mm-hmm. I want my boy to understand it. I know how things work and also how to respect it, you know. I don't want any shame attached to it. Mm-hmm. I don't want any stereotyping attached to it. I have friends that are in same-sex relationships. How do their children will feel when they go to school and they learn it has to be a man and a woman? Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much attached to it. There's so much that will affect the children. There will be so much that can be bullying coming from it, the stereotyping, shame. I think it's very unfair.
Okay, and Cathal McCarthy, what do you think of Jasmine's point there that the Catholic Church believe that the only marriage is between a man and a woman, and that one of the main aims of sex, if not the aim of sexual intercourse, is for procreation. And Jasmine says that's not what she believes, and she doesn't want her child taught that.
Well, then find a school that, I mean, it is Catholic teaching. If it's a Catholic school, a Catholic doctor will be taught. If you go to a Muslim school, you'll be taught Muslim beliefs. If you go to a Jewish school, you'll be taught Jewish beliefs.
Mm. So, do you?
The Catholic religion says that Full intercourse is reserved between a man and a woman in marriage. Mm. So premarital sex is out, same sex is out. It doesn't condemn the people. It's the act that's condemned. Now, if you're going to, again, I just keep saying it, if you're going to a Catholic school, why should you be surprised that the Catholic beliefs are taught in that school?
How many non-Catholic schools have I got to choose from in Ireland? How many non-Catholic schools are available and easily available to parents with non-Catholic children? And I don't have a problem with religion in school. Well, I do in a way as well, but I accept it. But I have a problem with it being taught to children and how they have to conduct their relationship. It has to be about values, as we all agree, you know, but it doesn't have to be put down to the church, because I'm not religious and I still have very similar values to religious or Catholic people. We all believe in the good. We all have to do good. We all have to act good, you know. So God doesn't have to come into that. We can respect everyone, you know, religion or no religion.
Yeah, again, I'll have back to it. Why should
a teacher be in a position in a classroom where he or she is actually saying that in the hierarchy of marriage, so to speak, the main one, the acceptable one to the Catholic Church is only between men and women, a man and a woman, whereas the state. The people of the state have decided that a marriage can be between two people of the same sex.
Exactly.
So therefore, a child sitting in that class who has two parents, both male or both female or whatever, is he or she not saying to themselves, "Well, hang on a minute, what's wrong with my?" My parents.
Well, I personally believe that any two same-sex people willingly bringing a child into the world to be brought up by them are actually committing child abuse. Because they are denying that child.
No, we won't go there.
They're denying the child either.
You can't talk about child abuse.
Of a father or a mother. And the child needs the example of both. So that's my belief. Now.
Oh, my God.
Now, when you
child abuse coming from a man that believes in God and is defending the Catholic Church is a bit rich.
Could I ask
Sean McCarthy, yeah.
When you talk of child abuse, there was a case in West Cork of a young student called O'Keefe. I forget her first name.
Louise.
And she had a long battle in trying to get justice. And it went to the courts here and went to the highest court in the land.
I know all about it.
Right. And it was stated at the end of the day that they couldn't decide was it the state was responsible or the management of the school responsible. That's because we have this weird arrangement in the management of schools where we don't know who's responsible for what. And it's about time the paymaster, the citizens of the country, the parents who are recognised in the Constitution as the primary educators, that they would have control.
So do you accept, Cathal, that the Flourish programme, as enunciated by the Catholic hierarchy, is not in line with the state programme?
No, I wouldn't make that comment because I don't know enough about it. You do know that
we passed a referendum on same-sex marriage.
Oh yes,
5 years ago. You do know that we passed a referendum on abortion 3 years.
I was active in seeking the changes myself at local level. But the point I'm making, I don't know enough about the detail of this program which we're discussing.
Okay, no, sorry.
The overall management structures that will influence the direction in which that program goes is something I would like to see done under state control, under the curriculum. Okay.
Sean, there's a Sean McCarthy and a Cathal McCarthy.
I beg your pardon.
And
yeah.
Sorry, I was directing that at Cathal, but I take that.
Pardon.
No, not at all. You're very kind, even for that response. Anne, because of my mistake. Anne, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Hi, Joe. I was actually ringing in originally about your earlier speakers who were talking, well, basically teaching bashing, and I was...
No, hang on.
No,
cliches now. Teacher bashing is a meaningless phrase. People are allowed, people of this country are allowed to debate issues. And if they raise if parents raise the issue of, especially in the current pandemic, of their children not being in school again next week, they're not going to be dismissed.
Maybe I shouldn't have phoned in to try and balance the argument.
Well, balance the argument. Stop using the phrase and dismissing people as teacher bashing. Now go ahead.
In fact, I took on board exactly what was being said. My reason for ringing in was every teacher in the country is unable to respond to what was being said then, and that was my motivation for ringing in. But subsequently, I've been listening to the conversation about the Flourish or
I'll go to that in a sec. But what is your response to those parents who say that next week after the lockdown?
Okay, can I just clarify a few of the misconceptions? First of all, the term discretionary days was bandied about
by the Department of Education.
Okay, the discretionary days are part of the school calendar, and primary schools are obliged to teach for 183 days. Mm. When they do their totals, there are three or four days over and above, and schools can use those at their discretion. Two of the days in February midterm are obligatory. They have to close for just 2 days. They can put 3 days of their discretionary days with those to make a week, or they can use those in May. But I suppose the point that I was trying to make was that I know firsthand how hard school leaders and teachers have been working, and there seems to be a misconception that somehow they were not working when schools were open. And I would be able to speak firsthand about teachers and principals who were working late into the night, doing contact tracing, trying to find substitute teachers, trying to look after their own children and come on a Zoom call and teach and prepare on a professional basis. So I think it would be unfair. Teachers are hugely aware, Joe, of the notion of the break in relationships. Children will catch up academically. I can guarantee you that, unless there's an issue, academically for them. It is the mental health that is the concern. And one of your speakers said she's not an educator. Well, parents are the primary educators and that was the point that I was bringing in about.
Okay, that's a fair point. Now, about Flourish, what do you think of the programme?
Okay, I'm speaking from a personal point of view now, but I was a principal for 17 years of a school in Talla, and I've been in education for over 40. And I cannot tell you how out of sync the church are with the reality of what's going on in schools. And to have the notion that they would now come in with a program that somehow goes against everything we have fought so valiantly to achieve in terms of human rights for the LGBT community is horrific to me. And indeed, to the majority of teachers teaching in Catholic schools. And I would say that Catholic schools are now Catholic with a small c, Christian with a large c. And there are LGBT teachers who still cannot come out in school in same-sex schools because there is still a tiny minority of people who get confused with the term homosexual and paedophile. And they are the ones that need to, you know, they should be, that notion should be outlawed.
So what what do you think will happen in schools? Will they implement this program if the patron of the school? Yeah.
I can tell you they will use their discretion. They will teach the part that is in keeping with the values of the school. And every school has a set of values that is their own. And I'm not going to tell you, Joe, that some schools are archaic. And some schools still have managers who are the parish priests. But the majority of schools are now run by lay chairpersons of the board. And this will be a conversation that should be had at boards of management so that, you know, there is clarity around what's being delivered. And that guy, Cottle, I think is his name,
made an
excellent point. He said, time now to sort out the fact
that... That was Sean McCarthy.
Sean, that things fall between who's responsible. Is it the board... or is it the department? It has to be the department. They pay the salaries, and boards are run by volunteers who sometimes know very little about the specifics.
And do you think teachers, Anne, will be able to come up with a formula of words? The Flourish programme clearly says that the main relationship, obviously through marriage, is between a man and a woman. And obviously then they don't recognise, and there's different language used by different members of the Catholic Church about gay marriage, about homosexual relationships, about transgender.
Yeah.
How will teachers get around not being able to impart that, as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, pardon the pun, there is a hierarchy of relationships with the male-female, man-woman marriage being at the top?
Now, I am guessing that there may be one teacher in most schools who would want to teach Flourish as it is, and the majority of other teachers will look to the type of programmes that are going on in community national schools, in the Educate Together schools, and they will secularise the Flourish. That's what I would be doing if I was still in a leadership role in school. We would be making it our own, and we would be taking the archaic notion that there is something morally wrong with LGBT relationships or naming them out of harm's way. Taking them out. That's not what we want our next generation to grow up with.
Okay, stay there, Anne. Ruth, your point, please. Ruth.
Yes, I was just making the point that we owe it to our young people to give them objective facts in relation to sexual health and development. We're at a really important juncture in Ireland's history. We have the choice now to learn from our past and to equip young people with the knowledge and confidence to make decisions. And that is really influenced by their education at a primary school level. Cahill's point in relation to go to a different school, it's just a non-point really, because there is no choice, and people need to listen to that. People who make those points, there is no choice. And I just think it would be disastrous, really, if this programme was brought in.
Okay. So, the Catholic Church has said this is a programme they want in the schools that are under their patronage.
Can I come in there for a second?
Yes.
The Catholic Church no longer pay a per capita to schools. They have no funding authority. Their influence is waning, and by all means you can teach, you know, Christian morals, but there is no real obligation on schools to adopt this if they are being funded fully now by the Department of Education. And I would say that is the case with the majority.
Stay with me for a second, Barry, because this is bugging me now for the last 10 minutes, and I don't want to. Cahill, I know Richard Dawkins has said this about the Catholic Church, and he accused the Catholic Church of child abuse. But I just want to give you the opportunity of rephrasing what you said about same-sex marriages and children in them. Because that is deeply, what you said is deeply, it's deeply untrue, but it's also deeply hurtful to people. So
am I not entitled to my opinion? Every child, if possible,
No, but where? No, but hang on. Two aspects of it. One, where is your evidence? You've none. And two, well, then I'll come back and say, what did you mean by that phrase, child abuse? Did you mean, everyone understands child abuse in this Ireland that we live in as abuse of children sexually by adults in a powerful position? Really, it's a crime. It's a crime. It's a crime. It's a crime.
No, Joe.
I just want to give you the opportunity to maybe expand or rephrase it.
Listen to me, Joe, and start talking. So, abuse is a whole wild thing. I mean, once upon a time, the word intercourse meant commercial intercourse, social intercourse. And it has now been narrowed down to, and you use the sex intercourse are used, and now it's been narrowed down to intercourse.
So
and
when
most
you,
people, if
so
you
when,
say intercourse, okay. think it's sexual intercourse. Now, the same with abuse. Abuse, there's verbal abuse, there's physical abuse, there's mental abuse, there's sexual abuse. Now, I am saying the deliberate cutting out of a male parent or a female parent is tantamount the child abuse.
In what way?
They are being denied the role whichever
okay,
sex that, is missing from the relationship.
That's what I but
and then, and it's been deliberately done. I know sometimes it can't be helped, but if it's been deliberately done, that the exclusion of one sex from the raising of the child is child abuse in my book.
But you don't mean it in the sense that it is physically or sexually abusing the child.
Did I not explain the word abuse already? The abuse, I believe that at the moment you are actually trying to abuse me by deliberately misconstruing what I'm saying.
Okay, so if I was let me. If I was abusing you in this context, that's not a crime. Sure, it's not. You feel I'm abusing you. Okay, so when you use the phrase, people heard it differently. I heard it differently. But you're saying you use the phrase child abuse, not in the sense that we all understand it now as a crime.
I think if you look up the dictionary, Joe, you'll see what abuse means.
I know, but you...
It has nothing to do with sex whatsoever. Okay, abuse.
Okay.
I'm saying it's abuse to deliberately deny the child the experience of being brought up by a parent of both sex.
Enough times at this stage, and it's as a public broadcaster, it's disgraceful that this is being said on air. It's really, really hurtful and inflammatory to so many people, and I really do think you've an onus as a public broadcaster not to be repeating that.
There's only one point of view allowed in this modern world.
Root and fairness.
Well, your generation did such a good job in shepherding our generation, didn't you?
I have three adult children and five grandchildren, and I believe they're all fine.
Well, people in the position of power didn't do a great job. Let me rephrase.
I don't want to go into individual children, but if one of your adult children said, "Dad, I'm gay,"
yes,
and I want to marry my boyfriend or girlfriend, which I can.
I would repeat maybe something like it was the Archbishop McQuaid. He said about Mary McAleese receiving communion in the Protestant Church.
No, that was Desmond.
He said,
that was Desmond.
It's a sham.
That was Desmond Connell.
Desmond. Yeah, it's a sham.
Yeah. This is
and I believe the same about so-called same-sex marriages.
Well, then,
shams.
Okay.
I just want to,
Cahill is not, the, well, it's up to himself what he feels he's doing a service or not, but I'm getting a bit of clarity what he meant by child abuse, and my understanding is he didn't mean it in the sense that we understand it in the world today. But Cahill, if one of your children, your adult children, told you that they were gay, would you see that as a failure on your part?
No.
Okay.
Would
you go to the wedding?
Probably not.
Oh. Okay,
one never knows what one will do in any given situation until they're faced with that situation.
Now,
very Christian of you.
Now, isn't that interesting, Cathal?
Pardon?
Isn't that interesting?
What?
That you're saying, and when I said to you, if one of your children said they told you they were gay and they were getting married, and would you go to the wedding? You didn't. It was not a categorical no. In fact, you left the door of the registry office wide open.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll come back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
David Barbieri. David, your point on this debate.
How are you doing, Joe?
Good, yeah.
Good to listen, everyone. My point is, I am a father, I'm a husband, I have six children. Mm-hmm. I am a practicing Catholic.
Okay.
My wife too. We are not going to send our children. We're exploring the way to avoid that flourish course in the school. I don't think it's the school, right, or the church right, to teach sex education to my children. That's my job, my wife's job. We did well with our secondary, we have six, three children in secondary school, three in national school. I'm not expecting a teacher to undertake the pressure to explain the fact of life to my kids, especially in an Ireland that in the last maybe 10 years has changed so much. So the gift of my faith is to pass it on to my children to be good people. You see, Joe? So I'm more concerned of the money that have been spent to implement something that is unnecessary if parents do their job.
And David, when your children go to school, well, your children are in school, do you say, if it's a Catholic school, do you say to them they are asked the school that they do that to be allowed not to participate
in
religious education class?
Correct.
Okay.
And we are practicing Catholic. And I will choose the spiritual guidance for my children if I need help. I don't expect a teacher. Teacher are no pay to teach those things. And it's very easy for the Catholic Church to dump it into the school. And that's only my personal view.
Mm-hmm. And what about relationships and sex education?
But that's my job.
Okay.
I have to teach my children about the reality. We don't live in a space. Life is real. Different reality, different families, so it's the way I explain to my children to respect and love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my faith is all about, respect and love.
So you're saying clearly if the Flourish program, if it is implemented in any of the schools that your children are going to, you will ask the school to exempt them from that session. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Stay there, Dave. Archdeacon Ruth Elms. Ruth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And you're listening to this debate.
I'm listening to this debate, sitting in my office trying to draft a Sunday service on social justice. And I'm sitting in the beautiful Wicklow countryside and finding myself more and more irritated as the programme goes on.
Okay.
In a very positive sense. If we are not irritated by discussions, then we're not engaging with them. So that's the first thing to say. I just want to just say a couple of things. Not all schools are run by the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Protestants are Catholics because Catholic simply means universal church. That's often misunderstood. So when we're talking about this program, this religious program, it is a Roman Catholic program we're talking about. Not all schools are managed by Roman Catholic priests.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are managed by priests who are Church of Ireland and other denominations, and some of them are even female. And not all religious programs taught in schools are Roman Catholic theology and ethos. Certainly the conversation for me has been very stimulating. And when we talk about sex education for our children, as a parent, which I am of adult children now, the best way for me to stimulate that conversation is to watch the news, to talk about politics, to definitely discuss LGBT plus rights, to talk about abortion in the home, to open the discussion. To open these discussions with our children. And finally to say, I took grave exception to that comment that children should be raised by a mother and a father, as somebody who was widowed very young and raised my two children as a single parent.
Good point. But what is the Protestant teaching on marriage and relationships in that sense? Obviously it's different to the Catholic Church.
It is different. It's based on biblical teachings, yes, but it's based on discussion. I mean, I've been taking a Zoom assemblies with the children.
Mm-hmm.
It should be open. It should be open to discussion. Teachers, I know in the schools, the parish schools here, are very good about answering the children's questions. And indeed, confirmation in this diocese and in my own parish is taught outside of school hours. So it doesn't go. I don't go into the church and teach the confirmation curriculum, but I go in and I talk to my confirmation candidates who are 11 and 12. I talk to them about social justice. I talk to them about right or wrong in the sense that sometimes that can be a grey area.
Because there is a phrase that's used in the Catholic Church and from the top down, it seems at times. Not by all clerics, I used to. But that homosexual relationships are intrinsically flawed. Would that be the belief in the Protestant teaching?
That would be difficult, because in any group of people there would be people that would hold a certain one theology and people who would hold another. Love is love.
Okay. Stay with us. 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Sharon Smith is contact. Sharon, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. You want to take up Cahill on a number of points you made. Go ahead.
Well, I just literally had the vaccine and I was driving back from the GP's and I felt compelled to pull over on the side of the road and call because I found his remarks so offensive. I run a group called Birth Mothers Ireland and we're a group of 70 plus women who were separated from our babies at birth through no fault of our own, through forced adoption, even though the report says there was none. But anyway, his remark saying that a man and a woman married can raise children and can, that's the only way it should be. And as your last caller said, if you were widowed, a single parent, you know, that's the ethos that locked me up in a cell in Pellettstown, for want of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And still in 2021, that ethos is coming through. So with a flourish, they have thrown me back onto the sinner's pile, having apologised as a society, apologised as a church, apologised as a state. The Taoiseach stood in front of the world, or the country, and apologised. And he spoke for the Minister of Education. And yet the Minister for Education is letting something like that flourish go through.
Briefly, Carl, but I want to give Sharon the last
question. People misunderstood what I said, because I didn't say that was my point of view. I said that was the church's teaching. Also, I didn't say that people, in the case like that woman there, are like the deacon. But they didn't deliberately deprive their child of a parent of the opposite sex.
Okay, Sharon.
That's what I was saying.
Okay, Sharon, while I have you there.
Yes.
Have you heard in the last hour the Gardaí have said there isn't enough evidence in the mother and baby home report for prosecutions, but they are opening, they're setting up a section and also communications lines, be a special email, a special address, and indeed go to your local Garda station. For anyone who's in a mother and baby home that feels that what happened to them might be a crime.
Well, the Gardaí, the Bangarda down in Killinalec may get her pen out because I'll be with her this evening. Because how dare the Gardaí say that? When it's plain to see, if my details are down there as being 15 years of age in a home, that is illegal. That's abuse. That's child abuse.
Yeah.
And that. And I know people are saying, oh, well, you're gauging that by today's standards. I'm not. I'm gauging it by humanity standards. And that a 15-year-old, if they were in a home like that, surely something, you know.
Yeah, they were put there against their will, invariably.
Exactly.
And Sharon, so, did you give evidence to the Mother and Baby Home Commission, so to speak?
I did. And
what was your reaction to the report?
I was actually on the selection panel for the collaborative forum.
Okay.
And I've been doing this work for the last 12, 13 years. And I'm
But the Gardaí are saying... in shock at what? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just in shock that the Gardaí would come to that conclusion. Obviously, we're lacking in our investigative skills in the Gardaí because it's jumping off the pages. A crime. Okay. How can somebody who's 16...
Are you disappointed that the Gardaí have said the Mother and Baby Home Commission report is of no use to us in terms of proceeding? We have to start afresh.
I can understand that they say it's useless to them because, to be honest with you, all the volumes were useless to me as well.
Okay, Sharon, thanks indeed. Thanks to all our callers. I'm over time. Fergus Sweeney produced. Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.